Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today's Real Talk is with a real leader who is making impact in the lives of ambitious female entrepreneurs. So I am so excited to introduce you all to Amira Alvarez. She's the founder and CEO of The Unstoppable Woman. And I will just stop there to welcome you. Thank you so much for making time for the show.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me, Shauna.
Yeah, absolutely. I will also say I always share with you how I know my guest. And Amira's team generously reached out to me to be on her podcast. So we will talk about her podcast and her coaching and consulting here today. So Amira, help start us out with letting the audience know, what is the Unstoppable Woman platform?
Absolutely. So this concept of the Unstoppable Woman dropped down like manna from heaven one day for me. And I was like, oh my God, that's it. And it's this concept that you can be smart, you can be driven, you can have that ambition in you, and there is more for you. And when we have a hate-love relationship with the concept of ambition, you know, right before we went live, we were talking about like being so dedicated to business that we forget about our personal life. And that can be a real thing for women, but for men as well. And what does it actually take to have the fullness of your life? So my business, this platform, this enterprise started as a coaching business that allowed women to really get what they needed to grow their income, grow their revenue, grow their business, make their impact in this world. And in doing so, I realized that there was so much more for women. And I was leading with business because that was my journey for me to like break through the limitations, the internal limitations and belief set points that I had. I had to want something badly enough and go for it. And that was within the business journey. And just a little tangent there. My story was that when I was growing my business, I had just crossed the six-figure mark. I was like making 138. Well, I say that as if I don't remember. I remember specifically. I was making 138. The year before, I'd made 138K. I was very proud that I had crossed the six-figure mark. It had taken me a few years, but I'd gotten there. And I realized that I wanted more. And I had this idea of this desire that like claimed me practically to make $1 million in a year. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do that. I'm going after that, right? And it was this emotional hook of what that meant to me, not just the money, but that I could do it, that I could be someone that could do that. And that year, I didn't get to a million, you know, but I got to 700K, which was outstanding, astounding, right? Five times my income in one year. And I was basically a solo entrepreneur. I had a VA. And so I had, and then, you know, the business crossed $1 million, multiple millions, all of that. It's grown. It's great. I love it. I'm making huge impact in women's lives. And I get to do my genius work. All of that's fantastic. And yet there's this thing that initially was like, oh, I did it in business. Everyone else does it in business. And then we can add the life stuff. And I think that there are a lot of people who didn't have to, they had a different business journey than I did. They were like, steady, steady, I got this. They had the mindset, the perspective to get it done. But everything else in their life is not happening. And how do we help them be unstoppable in that phase of their life? So initially, I had to be unstoppable in the business breakthrough, and then I could start doing these things in other aspects of my life. But it was sort of like I'm going to sneak that into the coaching for the women, right? Because they they really need the help on the business side. And now the company has shifted to be like, oh, you're jamming on all cylinders on the business side, but what about the rest of your life? Like, how is your health? How is your sexuality? How is your love life? How is your relationships with friends and family? Do you have friends, right, that you really love, right, that you can turn to, that get you all of those things? So that's what, you know, there's different levels of unstoppability, if you will.
It sounds like what you're saying is that your platform is really supporting almost like a holistic viewpoint of what a woman can be, a woman in business, a woman just in life can be. But I think it's really lovely because it helps figure out, like, how do you actually kind of put the pieces of the puzzle together in balance?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got this drop in recently, which was like, oh, we were told we could be anything we wanted to be, but then we were also told you can't have it all, right?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, yeah. That's not, wait a second, hold on. That does not add up for me. And yet, what is the process for having it all? Because if we just say, go be superwoman, right? Mm-hmm. Go do everything and be everything, we'll splay out. We'll be overwhelmed. We'll feel not enough. All of that comes up. So how do we expand our capacity?
Mm-hmm.
And so most women who have done well in business, they've single focused on business.
Okay.
To really give it the attention it needs. You know, energy flows where attention goes, right? Like, give it the attention it needs and it will blossom. But at what sacrifice? What about everything else? And then you shift you're afraid to shift your focus, because if you shift your focus, what happens to the business? And I think we need to learn how to expand our capacity to hold more, to be more, and to do more, without it being coming from a place of not enoughness, which is that superwoman thing. You've got to tackle all these things and be all of these things. Otherwise, you're not enough and you're going to be letting everyone else down. Instead, if we do it in reverse, if we say, well, Shauna, you know, what do you really want? Like, let's build that life. Let's build that exquisite, beautiful, delightful, lit up life. Could you even claim it? Could you even see it? Do you automatically negate it? What's going on for you when you're given license to say, I want it all? Because there's always more.
And when you first started talking, you spoke a little bit, you touched on, it was like your own limiting thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's important to just point out, because I think what you're saying is with the unstoppable woman is there's an element of recognizing where those limiting thoughts are and taking a different perspective to how you shape and journey forward your life.
Absolutely. So for me, being fully transparent here, like, even though I had challenges growing my business, right? I like the first year, 30K, second year, 90K, third year, 138. But then I was like, I can't work any more hours. Like, I got the 14 to 16 hour workday here going on. What something's got to give. So, you know, there were the basic belief thoughts that I had to work through around, like, you know, where does money come from? And then it doesn't come just from hard work and all of those things, right? But after I moved through that and really dialed in the business and got the business off the ground and it felt good and it was, you know, jamming on all cylinders. And obviously there's always challenges, right? It's never perfect. But, you know, it was going pretty well. Then I was asking myself, so, you know, now what? And I realized that one of my beliefs was, I'm great at business, but I'm crap. Okay, crap was too strong of a word, but I'm not lovable. Like, I'm not gonna have that dream relationship. Now, I'd been married 14 years. We had partnered well. He was a great guy. That was not. It wasn't like I never had a relationship. Okay. But we ended up separating amicably and consciously. And then, you know, dated someone for 4 years, also good person in a different way, great, great man, but never feeling fully loved, fully like this relationship is the pinnacle of what I desire. And I was like, okay, let's walk my own talk, right? And let's break through these beliefs around what's possible for me. Like, I feel really confident here, over here in business. I felt really confident in those relationships to a certain degree. They were good relationships. They, you could even say great relationships, but they weren't like fully lit up, like this is it, pinnacle relationships. And I want that. So I did some, you know, I call it crossing the river or climbing the mountain range, right? Like I dug in, and it was not, for the faint of heart by any means to face that internal identity piece. Holy moly, I'm creating this. I'm believing that I can't have what I want. I'm believing that it's not available for me, that I'll never have it, that like that's for someone else, but not me.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ending of that story has created, you know, the most magical relationship of, you know, my life. It's exquisite. It's lit up. It's delightful. It's like hot. It's deep. It's intimate, right? All the things. Yeah. So breaking through that belief about myself, I had to do it first in business, but then I did it in my personal life.
I think it's really great to point this out because, again, like we are not, I can just say as women, we're not one-dimensional. I guess as people, we're not one-dimensional, right? Men either. But I think that just the way things have gone in society and in business, I think women are seeing that more. They're talking about it more. And what you're doing is empowering and helping others to get there. It's really important.
Yeah. And I think there's a, like, just to go in this direction and this conversation, I think there's there are a lot of very ambitious, driven women. They're either, you know, they might be married with kids. They might be not in a relationship. They might be in a relationship that's not suitable to them. But they're like, I'm superwoman over here in my business. And I'm just going to have to accept how this relationship is going to be. And it's not even a conscious thought. It's a very... It's like this undercurrent of compromise, accepting it. I guess that's just how it is. I guess that's not meant for me. Shouldn't I be content with what I have? I see this a lot, especially with women who are partnered with good men, you know, but they're not having a lit up relationship, or they're partnered with good partners, but they're just in a partnership, or they're with men who are the fathers of their kids, but they're doing both the masculine and the feminine side of the relationship. And they really don't know how to step into that feminine side. And to be clear, we all have the masculine and the feminine essence in us, right? Like, I'm not talking about, you know, men and women, but like that if you have the provider archetype, if you're the one that's like the breadwinner, you're the one who's like getting it all done, very often hard to come back into the relationship, even if it's a good guy, and be open to receiving, be in that sort of like, yeah, I'm going to let you support me. You be the structure. You take care of things and love me. We're like, okay, we got to go. We have this to do and this to do. And have you done this? And it really, we create these barriers to intimacy and to love. And I think it's a big challenge for women who are so driven and so on it and so ambitious, right? And we don't want to kill that at all. Like, that is not what I'm talking about. And oftentimes, like, behind the scenes, I have clients who are like, I don't believe that I can like be ambitious and have this at the same time. Okay, let's, like, are you willing to lean into it? Like, if we could, would you be willing? And yes, okay, then we can go, you know?
Yeah. It's so important, again, because I think really just pausing to make sure that the audience is seeing that this is not just about business. This is not just about unstoppable woman in business. This is the unlocking. It sounds like what you're doing is really helping to unlock that entirety. And I said the word balance before, and just as I said it, I was like, ooh, that's not the right term I want to use, but it's more of this harmony almost, which I know is something I've heard other people using. But so, and again, with the audience in mind, how should we think about who are your clients, and when should someone think about, you know, engaging in what you're offering, and, or, you know, who even to recommend it to?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So my clients are entrepreneurs, they're CEOs, they're the heads of division, they're the top in their class, right? They're the ones who, you know, if they're the salesperson, they're the ones that are like always hitting the top of the mark and getting the vacation, right? Or being promoted or whatever. They have that provider archetype. They have that, like, I'm creating in business, like, I've got this going on. And you know, there's always challenges in business. There's always challenges, you know, cash flow or whatever. But like, you have a level of confidence in this area of your life. This is not like we can work on that. Like, I work on how to lead teams and all of that, right? And how to create different containers for cash flow. But like, you have a level of confidence in that area. That's not where you don't feel good enough per se. Are you challenged by certain things? Of course, right? There's always going to be challenges, but you trust yourself in this arena by and large. It's like, how do you transfer that trust to the other areas of your life? So the ideal client for me is someone who is super smart, super driven, who feels confident in business, could always use some extra trusted advisor perspective on that, because I've helped a lot of women do amazing things in their business, multi-million dollar businesses, you know, the whole nine yards. But who really wants to expand her life and create an exquisite life for herself, and have a plan for that, have a vision for it that she may not have fully occupied yet. It might have only been a wish up until this point, but she hasn't like really leaned into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Super, super helpful. And so when we are talking about female entrepreneurship, I want to dig into that a bit. And I'm really curious how you see if there's a dynamic that you think is different with females who are entrepreneurs and men who are entrepreneurs. And I realize I'm using very gendered language, so
yeah.
I'm recognizing that. If there's a different way to talk about it, I'm open to your education. But I think that I'm just curious from whether it's like a stereotypical thing or just what do you see?
So I think one of the things that in general, not, you know, there's always exceptions to the rule. Women tend to be able to hold a wider breadth of information, experience, focus, if you will, than men. And the challenge with that is we jump from one thing to another because we see how they all matrix together and how they all need our attention, but we don't go as deep and narrow in one.
Okay, interesting.
And this is from someone who knows how to focus very well, right? I still know that, like, me compared to a man that has a very strong masculine essence in the same position would be like, we are focusing on this one thing now, we're dialing it down, this is the first thing that we have to do, nothing else matters, like, go. Okay. And so there's a way that both work, right?
it's not without admiration for that kind of discipline and focus. That's a very masculine essence thing. And I'm not saying that women don't have it. We have it. Right. But we also have this ability to flow where attention is needed. And we can in a positive light, recognize where those places are. The shadow side to that is that we get distracted, or we don't pull things together as well. We need a support team to help us get things done. And that's very important. The feminine essence needs the structure. Okay. And so the masculine creates structure. If you think of a waterfall, I love this analogy. The masculine essence is that the rocks. The feminine essence is the water flowing. It would be a flat pond. It would not flow without any structure, right? We need the structure for the water to flow through. It would not have any currency or movement without the structure. But all structure, no flow, and you don't have a waterfall, okay?
Right.
It's just some rocks. So we need both. And, the masculine... men tend to err more on the structure side, and women, again, generalizing, err more on the flow side. And yet we need both, and we create both for ourselves. Often as strong women, we've figured out how to create that structure, and we might need to go more into the flow. It's individual. We have to look at the person and go, in this situation, maybe you need to let go of the reins a little bit more, right? So,
it's fascinating. I don't think I've heard it described this way. So I really appreciate you bringing this to the forefront. It's just, again, like really interesting. And I think sometimes there are so many different beliefs or the way people talk about men versus women in business. So again, I just really appreciate you bringing it to the forefront. And with that, I'm curious, do you find that, how do women support women versus the way men support women? Or better said, probably, what are your tips for supporting a woman who is on this unstoppable journey? And is it at all influenced by the gender?
So you first ask, how do men support women? Is that true? Okay.
Yes.
So let's start there. I think it depends on a little bit on what their relationship is with the woman. Are they work colleagues? Are they equals? Are they someone, a boss or employee? Like, where is it in that? Or is this a intimate love relationship that we're talking about that's separate from the business side of things? Or are you working in business together, your partner and working, right? That happens a lot too.
Yeah.
But I would recommend for men to look at how they can support, how they can create more structure for that woman. Okay. So not in a constraint way, but in a, I'm going to take away the requirement for you to create your own structure, and I'm going to create that structure for you. That will allow her to have more flow. And that's the flow of ideas, the flow of money, the flow of enthusiasm, all of that, right? There's a lot flows that's very positive. But when women are having to be the support and the flow at the same time, they can really constrain the flow, if you will. Okay. Because they're needing to do this. Now, the way the man does that is to be more trustworthy than he has been already. Okay. Specifically around time, space, plans, certainty. If you say you're going to do something, you do it early. You get it done before. If you think that something needs to be done in the business, right? Like, we need to create this plan for blah, 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 blah. You need to think about that before she does. You need to have more structure than she does, earlier than she does. Now, that doesn't mean that you're forcing it on her,
right? But it's like, hey, I've created this. Would this work? Would you like this? Does this help? And then there's a dialogue around it. But if you can get ahead of her, most ambitious driven women have got this dialed in already. They're like, okay, this is plan we need. This is project management we need. This is what, right? And you're nodding your head because you're like, oh yeah, I got that, right? But that where we can have the creative idea flow, we can have the creative problem solving flowing if we don't have to do as much of that. And then in a personal life world, if you're a man listening to this and you want your woman to relax into your personal life and not be go, 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 go all the time in her head with business, you have to create the structure, right? And do it in your personal life. In fact, I was just talking to my man about this, and I was like, babe, you know, when I, the other night when I started looking at houses online and I started like going into the deep dive on that, and it was really fun, and you're like, okay, that's great. I'm seeing all the things she wants, like, and that's really positive. You know what? That's also a sign that you need to create more structure, right? Because I need to find some certainty here. I need to find the perfect house for us. I need to find, right? I'm looking for structure. And he's like, oh, I get it. Okay. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So interesting. And I'm also glad that you give, because I was going to ask you, wait, tell us more about this structure. I'm so glad you explained it. Because again, I think as you said in the beginning, it is not that constraining way. Mm-hmm. It's more of a supporting way and a complementary. And again, sounds like what you're saying is it's facilitating more of that harmonious existence that we've been talking about since we started today.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, if a man or whoever, let's be gender neutral here, if the person in the relationship who has the masculine essence, right, the stronger masculine essence, in who's taking that role on, can get ahead, right, then it can feel fun rather than I'm doing this structure creating to find some certainty in the world. Okay. If your woman or the person who has the feminine essence has the stronger feminine essence, I should say, has you as certainty, as structure, she's not going to have to control the world so much. Okay. She can relax into it and go with the flow. Right. And like, I don't know about you, Shauna, but I love being supported and going with the flow, but I had to unlearn all the things that I had learned growing up, because, you know, growing up, we had to like be our structure for ourselves also. And just to be clear, I'm not saying all or nothing here. Okay. Like I still have a lot of masculine essence in me. I have a lot of directiveness, all of that. So, but this is just a little bit of a reassessment or rebalancing or reevaluation of how much is required. And oftentimes women, especially really driven women, don't realize they love this part of that, because it in our world, it creates so much impact. So we do love it. We love our masculine essence. And I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm just saying, you know, what if we ratcheted it down a little bit so you could trust more, and then you would feel that life force in you a little bit more, the sexual energy, the flow of good juju and like creative ideas. And I think we all want that and can have it.
Yeah, absolutely. When you were talking about that, the thought came to me about that. I've been seeing a lot of writing about the hyper independent person. And I look back to my past and before I made some very conscious decisions about how to get out of my own way and to allow space for a meaningful relationship, for frankly, anything other than work. But I think some of that came from this like hyper independence that can be really great and productive in a lot of ways. And it can also be inhibiting or, you know, can close off some other things. So is that something that you run into? Is that part of the dynamic that you see that you're talking about here?
100%. Absolutely. So what this looks like is the uber competency, right? Like you go into let's use it in the personal life. You go into a relationship and you're uber competent. Like you're like 5 steps ahead, 10 steps, 15 steps ahead. Okay. And you can, if you're like, I have a client who's moving right now and she just wants her man to like find the place, get it booked, like get us moved in, like just take care of it. And she's like, everything's blowing up in my business right now. I'm dealing with all this stuff. And can't he just take care of this? And because she's been the one who's always taking care of it, because she's so competent, okay, he's been, I'm not going to say emasculated, that's not quite the right word, but like, has just learned to rely on her competency. She just gets it done. And that doesn't allow the support in, okay?
Yeah.
But, and it's tough because you're competent, so you can just get it done. And why shouldn't I just get it done, right?
Yeah. But you and I have both talked about having to do deep work to uncover that within ourselves. And I specifically had to think about, okay, well, I don't have to do all of the doing. And I can, to your point, trust that I now have a partner. And yes, I'm talking about my personal life, but also in business, I've had to really, you know, do that work to be able to trust that partner. And so are there any tips specifically about this? Because I don't actually can't tell somebody else how to do what I did, but you talked about you had a similar path. So can you help the audience maybe with some tips around where do you even start doing that work? Or what questions do you ask yourself to be able to get out of your own way?
Yeah, it's so good. So there's a whole methodology to this that I love to teach. But the short scenario of it is, first, you have to get clear about what you want. Sometimes that's in the form of a complaint. In business, this often looks like I can't get the right team, whether it's a C-suite or just your executive assistant, right? Like, it's just like, why am I still in the operational weeds? I want to be doing X, Y, and Z over here. Okay. So it might be a complaint. Now we have to flip it into, okay, well, let's take that complaint and put it into a clear desire. Like, what would that look like? And this is where the visioning, the imagining, the allowing in. So first you have to open a little bit and say, yeah, that's possible for me. I want that, and that's possible for me. We claim the desire. That's the gate of desire. And it takes into play a little bit the gate of imagination, right? Like, you have to imagine that as well. Inevitably, after you claim it, all the denial comes up, like, that's impossible, I'll never be able to get that, I can't afford it, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. In business, it's like, well, that COO is going to be X amount and the business can't support it, or whatever it is, okay? And you start going into some of the practicalities and basing it on past experience, and you go into denials. Oftentimes, Shauna, that looks like not feeling worthy of that higher desire. Now, no one I know, I think, says, oh, I'm not worthy of that. No one articulates those words, okay?
Like,
but in truth, we think it looks like that can't happen. That's going to be a struggle. I can't afford that. Who am I going to find? No one's going to want to do this work, whatever it is, right? That's a unicorn. I can't, right? You know, you come up with some sort of story and saying why you can't have that. That is oftentimes a worthiness issue disguised as a practicality issue. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you're worthy of it, but there's something in you that isn't yet vibrating at that level that you want to be at. And we live in a vibrational universe, so we vibrate at a level. Everything vibrates at a level that matches it. So if you want that fabulous CEO, you have to get to that level where you match to where that person is going to be attracted to this opportunity. Okay. And so you then have to do the work of becoming that woman, that person. And there's steps to that. Imagination is very key, but opening to receiving, stepping into the feminine. We talked a lot about the masculine and feminine, stepping into that, being open to receiving, understanding what has to happen and taking that action, you know, in trust and faith. You know, entrepreneurs, CEOs tend to have a higher risk tolerance than many other people, so that they understand this, but there's still going to be that leap of faith that's required. So that's a little taste of the how.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I'm getting excited as you're talking about it, because I'm getting a feeling, a sense of the impact that you're making on the clients that you're working with. And so if someone does start working with you, can you give us a sense of like, what does an engagement look like, or how is it one-on-one? Or I think you've had some workshops. Can you give us an idea of what that means?
Yeah. So I do one-on-one work. And so we have a variety, I call them containers, a variety of different ways people can work with us.
Okay.
So the starter place for many people is something called the Exquisite Life Plan event. And that's where I lay out a lot of this methodology. I walk you through, workshop it with you so that you get that level of clarity and have a plan. We go through these different gates and you have a real plan of how to work it. Then there's the lived experience of it. Okay. And this is where I believe the rubber meets the road. The plan is super, super important. The clarity, the plan, super, super important. But then you have to live it. You have to lean into it. You have to actually make manifest this vision that you've done. And that's where we have a high level mastermind, where we do a combination private coaching with me and a mastermind of high level women together, living their experience out, supporting each other in that, being challenged to lean in, even when it's like you want to go kicking and screaming back into your old belief patterns and all of that. But like to really, you're already at a certain level, but now we're taking it to that place where you personally thought you couldn't do it, whether it's in business or in your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that. And then I do straight up private coaching as well at the moment. So that's great. And the people who do the private coaching tend to come for the business side, because I've helped so many people really raise their game on the business side. But inevitably, behind the scenes, it's this other stuff that really wants to be worked out. So,
yeah. The part that you said about working in the group of other women, I'm glad you brought that up. I recently heard something about the group dynamic of women is one of the only proven ways. There's studies about it. I actually tried to find it, but I've fallen short in that. But that's actually a great way for women to overcome. One of the only proven ways that women overcome imposter syndrome, which again, I thought was really fascinating. So talk to us about this group dynamic of women. And if people hear that in the audience, and quite frankly, when I've heard that in the past, I've been like, ooh, a little shied away. It's not that I feel inferior. I just haven't worked.
Yeah.
Apparently, my career, I haven't worked in more of like these cohorts of women. It's been more of mixed or skewed more male. So talk to us about this dynamic of the female cohort.
Yeah. So I think this is so interesting. Thank you for asking this question. No one's asked me this question ever. And I'm going to be talking about this ad nauseum henceforth. So, So I'm someone who loves men, would always be in a group with men. I'm like, I love the dynamic. It calls me forward. Like, it feels energizing. All the masterminds I've ever been in have been like men, and like, it's like, go, go, go. There's something different that happens with women. And I think they're craving it if they're honest, which is they want to be with high-powered women. They don't want to be with women who don't have ambition or drive, but they also want to be able to be seen and really be able to be vulnerable in that situation. So here's what happens. Let me take two steps back. I think there's mean girl syndrome, right? From years past, where the kids on the school ground, like, you were either in, you were out, they were mean, whatever. And we have learned to protect ourselves and not be vulnerable in front of other women. We might have some good girlfriends here and there, but we don't necessarily have a group of women in business that are strong and smart and going for more, because we were hurt, right? And we needed to be like, you're not coming in here. What happens when you actually lean into that and it's facilitated, right? There's a structure created, which is what I do, is that you're able to be vulnerable when it's your turn to be vulnerable, really seen by your peers and not judged, not shamed, not made small. And there's so much healing that happens in that, where you're able to like be your truth, which is not completely falling apart and not completely having her shit together. Because truth be told, behind that like tough exterior, you don't have your shit together. And you'd really love a place where you can just be like, yeah, I got my shit together 90% of my life. But this 10%, I'm falling the fuck apart. Okay. And you just want to be seen and have the other women go, oh yeah, I gotcha. This is my time to share my wisdom now. Okay. I'm going to share my wisdom. I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to call you to a higher standard. And then the roles reverse. And it's like, when it's time to be vulnerable, it's your time to be vulnerable. When it's time for you to step into your strength, your wisdom, it's you hold the container for that. And when you're able to go back and forth and in and out of those roles with agility and a level of comfort, you build up a sense of self that is so strong, because you're no longer behind the mask. You're no longer trying to, like, the fullness of who you are has been seen, and you don't have to feel like you have to keep a part of you secret. And that's when like the next level happens, takeoff happens.
Yeah. It's such a great explanation. And as you were talking about it, it was reminding me of the experience that I had actually during the pandemic. There's a executive group of women very much from the sports entertainment group that I'm a part of. And a friend of mine, Liz Brown, who's the CMO of Little League, started it with another friend of ours, Vanessa Tavares. So the three of us really started. And at first I was, I just was having on going with the flow of it, but there was something so awesome about, and a lack of loneliness I noticed when we got the group going. And it was, again, that group of, to your point, similarly ambitious women who are able to hold the space for each other, create solutions for each other. And that was frankly the first time I really, really experienced it. So I can definitely attest to what you're saying about, there's something really powerful about that. And to your point about being able to come and be like, I am a hot mess today in this area, but this area is going well. And just almost a camaraderie, but also an understanding about it that it was very recent for me, again, within the last several years that I experienced that. But for anybody's listening who may shy away from the idea of a cohort that's female, that kind of thing, again, I'm just here to say that I moved through that. I was able to have a real and continue to have a really great experience in that environment. A lot of times it comes down to like, who are your people? And the more you give yourself the opportunity to explore that, then I think it, instead of resisting it and again going into that hyper independent mode, I think that's where some of the magic can happen.
100%. 100%. And yeah. And it's beautiful when you have that experience. You feel so understood and seen and lit up. And you know, you hear that all the time, like, it's lonely at the top. This is the solution to that, okay? Mm-hmm. Because so many leaders, they might have a few trusted colleagues in their business world, but they really feel like they can't be, like, if you're the CEO, you're not gonna like let it all out, even to your COO. You still have to be like holding some sort of leadership directional role, right? You need a place where you can be like, okay, let me just tell you, this is what's happening right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And that's so, if your audience who's listening and nodding their head to this, if you can lean in to receiving that level of support, it's huge for women in business. It's huge.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're running out of time a bit, but I do want to give you the opportunity to talk about one thing. Which I think has been a calling heart of yours, and you've mentioned a little bit throughout this, but I want the audience to be able to know it's part of your offering, is fast tracking income. And I know you said that, you know, you're doing so much more than just the business side, but it sounds like a real superpower of yours. So can you give us very high level, like, what does that mean and how does that fit into the ecosystem?
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for asking that question. So this is a little bit of a superpower of mine. So
thank
you. Just a little bit. So I can really, like, when a client comes to me and they're like, okay, this is my business and I'm challenged in this way. Let's say it's on the income side. I can pretty much in a few minutes really like assess exactly what needs to happen. The rest of my time with them is about getting them up to speed, walking them to that place so that they see it as well. And making money in business is not challenging, okay? There's only three ways to make more money, okay? You raise your prices, you sell more of what you're already selling quantity, or you add a new channel of income. There's three ways. Like, dissect anyone's business, okay? There's only three ways to make more money. I'm not saying like P&L, like, okay, we need to save on expenses. That's a whole other story. So if you think about it from that perspective, it's really easy. Which of those three things do we have to do and what's getting in the way? And oftentimes it's a combination of the three. It's not just one, but which of those things and what's getting in their way of actually doing that? And then we solve those problems and they're off to the races. So,
wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a simple solution that a lot of people need. A lot of people need, as I raised my hand.
Yeah. Now, that's something that I do in, you know, a VIP day would be a great container to work that through, because I'm just like, we can just dive in, the two of us, boom, 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 boom. Let's get it done. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important. I think that anybody in business can so easily, I think, get into the doing of the day to day and all those type of things. But that step back becomes so important of like, what is actually driving the business anyway? And the revenue. And so really, really great. And I'm excited for that, for all that you're doing in that space. So as we're wrapping it up here, I always like to make sure that I pause and ask my guests. We've talked about so many things here today. So what do you want to make sure that the audience takes away and really, you know, is able to use or share from your episode today?
Yeah, I think it's this two things. Like, we were told we could be anything we wanted to be, but you can't have it all. And let's call BS on that. Okay. So what is it that would be more for you? We all have it. We all have a little something, because like, us as humans, we always want more, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, be grateful for what you have, appreciate what you have, but know that like, you're here to expand. So what is your more? What is that thing that you
really want. Okay. And let's lean into that. Let's create your exquisite life, and it's going to get better and better and better. And the thing that you probably need to shift or change is the very thing that you are identified with, your identity. And that's why it's so hard to create what you want, because it's an identity shift, not just a, you know, grind it out, push, do the action kind of thing, which is also required. But after we make that shift on the identity side. So, yeah.
Great.
That your exquisite life is here for you. That's what I want people to know. Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much. And then just wrapping it up then, is there two things about working with you? And just so, you know, is there anything you have coming up in the year ahead of us that you want to make sure you point out to the audience? And then where can we find out all about your what you're doing?
Thank you. Oh, so good. So the big thing that I have coming up that I'm super excited about is we have a new event that we are putting on called the Exquisite Life Plan Event. And this is, I made mention to it earlier. This is where I'm going to be walking you through this methodology for how to really map out the plan. And I think of it as like Alice in Wonderland meets like Uber driven human woman, right? Okay. Like it's going to be magical and delightful and exquisite and a delight for your senses as much as it's going to be a constructive plan. So if you think about that masculine constructive plan, but like the delight for the senses, the sensuality, the living into the moreness of you as a woman, that's what we're going to be doing at the Exquisite Life Plan event. So we have that coming up. And if people want to get on the wait list or the announcement list, they can go to theunstoppablewoman.com/ELP for Exquisite Life Plan. So theunstoppablewoman.com/ELP. And then, you know, our website has lots of material. In addition, the podcast is a great place to check out my teaching. I teach a lot on the masculine and feminine, on identity, on beliefs, on manifestation. I know that's a little woo, but like, how do you create without the push and the struggle? It's not magic, but it feels like magic. And I love teaching on that, the laws of the universe, all those good things. So the podcast is a great place. I do a lot of teaching there. And then, you know, obviously you were on as a guest as well. So like, yeah. I do interviews too. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I am so honestly so glad to know you. I feel honored that you have come on the show today, and thank you for all you've shared with this audience. So I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day, and everyone who's tuned in, thank you so much. And I hope you have an awesome day too.
Thank you so much, Shanna.